Retail Therapy. I'm Will. Barrett Dudley, how we doing today?
Oh, we're doing wonderfully. First official episode of the springtime.
Okay.
And let me just be the first to wish you a happy vernal equinox. How did you celebrate?
You know me.
Yeah.
I love my vernal equinoxes.
Right, I know. Yeah. You're always talking
so,
about it.
I did what I normally do for it. I like to keep that private though.
Okay.
It's kind of a personal experience for me.
Yeah, well it is, it's a pretty pagan holiday, so like people probably are, getting their midsummer on a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand why you'd want to keep that to yourself because it's kind of freaky deaky.
For me, it's my first day of shorts and crew neck season.
Ah, yes.
Which is actually a much bigger deal to me.
It was like 55 this morning, and so I didn't step out in shorts, but I'm happy that you were brave enough to do so.
Had my go-to pants this morning not had some large dirt stains on them, I would have just tossed those on. But I was like, you know what? Maybe it's time. It's a little dreary this morning. I think we're going to have a little sunlight this afternoon. It's going to turn into a beautiful day.
Sure is.
I think it's time to anoint today the first day of shorts and crew neck season.
Now, are you? You may have mentioned that you might be hitting the links later this afternoon.
Yes.
Are you gonna swing the irons and exactly what you've got on?
No. I like to wear moisture wicking material as I'm on the golf course. More about that in a little bit, actually,
because
I've got some major golf questions for you, or golf adjacent questions. But no, I've brought the change of clothes. It's always nice to I actually packed it in my cake not crumbs tote bag today to head to the golf course.
Beautiful.
After. Yeah. How are you doing today, Barrett?
I'm doing wonderfully, I've got my French toast muffin here, which kind of looks like chicken nuggies.
Dude, shout out the bakery.
But I'll shout it out. It's Patika, just down the street.
Okay.
Otherwise known as Patika. It's one of those ones that nobody knows how it's actually said.
Menchaca and Manshack.
Yeah, that's right. How do you say the coffee shop down the street?
I always say Patika.
Patika.
But I have no faith that
Patika?
It's correct.
I think Patika's right. I think when that place first opened and we were in and we started patronizing it, I think I was calling it Patika, and so it's taken some, but I think you're right. I think it's Patika, but it's a nice little spot on South Lamar.
I skimped out today. I only go to our Australian coffee shop now. I'm trying to get in with the Aussies down the street.
Yeah, they don't have like a true cold brew. The Aussies, they don't do cold brew.
It's beneath them.
You'd think that they would because it's a pretty warm climate down there.
Did they just band together as a society and be like, we're making coffee our thing?
Yeah, they're like, we're not doing this shit. We're not bastardizing it with cold brew. Instead, we will sell you a $55 pour over, which you have to respect.
Yeah. I don't understand why Aussies are just like, it's coffee. No, that's us. That's our thing.
Yeah.
Don't mess with us. We're going to charge you out the ass for it because we're Australian.
Yeah. I think I've already mentioned they're selling their beans, their magic beans at Central Market. Wildly priced. Absolutely wildly priced.
It's jarring to go up to the self-pour beans at the supermarket and be like, oh, what? These are double the price of the ones like right next to it? Okay, cool. Great. I did skimp out today. I kind of wimped out when I got dressed because I was going to wear my new diner clogs.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Not sure if you've seen these. Only real diners wear them.
You have to be dining to wear them, I think.
I don't know why they're called diner clogs. Is it for restaurant workers?
So, that's
Randy. Just ring the bell. We can't expect you to know this, but just ring it.
I mean, I knew it. I just was wondering. I was waiting for you to say it.
Well, I'll say it, Randy, because there might be listeners that aren't familiar with the diner clog. But it's a rubber mule from brand Ame Leon Dore. Thank you. They released these last year when they called them the garden clog, and they had like a lower heel cup and no little kind of like faux double layer at the toe. They've updated it higher in the heel so it doesn't, so it's they stay on you a little bit better, and then they've got like some little like bumper looking things that make them more durable, whatever. And now it's the diner clog, suitable for all back of house workers.
I just got a little giddy while I was checking out. I was like, you know what,
I'm throwing them in.
I'm doing this.
Was it the new crew neck and the diner clogs?
I made some grand proclamations that I was going to get drunk at Barrett's wedding and purchase this.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that was the last thing from my mind after the wedding. And
right.
So I put it off until I was hungover a different day.
Yeah.
I went out to dinner with my dad and had a few drinks, and I was just feeling a little dusty in the morning. And I was like, you know what? I think today's the day. I think I'm going to cure this hangover with a little retail therapy.
Well, and you had spent a lot of time with your pops doing some gardening.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you had the bug a little bit.
I did.
You were out there planting. You were putting your hands in the dirt and the soil, becoming one with nature. Did you do some grounding?
I didn't do much grounding.
No, you didn't. You didn't walk barefoot on your lawn.
No, I probably should have. Okay. Probably should have.
Well, now you don't. Now I have my diner clogs. Now you don't have to because you got the diner clogs. Also, which I think double as a gardening clog.
It really was a perfect storm. Yeah, I was preparing to go to a local nursery with my father when I purchased the clogs. So maybe I'm underselling the effect of that. But I'm happy with the purchase. I have to say that I did size down per their recommendations. Anytime I ever see that, I'm like, oh, I'm screwed here. They fit me literally perfectly. Looking down at the feet, they're a little dainty on the feet.
You think so?
I don't know. They're not as wide as I think I'm used to looking down at my Birkenstock, like Bostons.
Yeah, they're not quite as wide as the Boston. But I feel like because they're a little bulbous though.
Yeah.
They don't. I wore mine to go pick up. I wore my garden clogs to go pick up a pizza last night.
Any compies? That's compliments.
Yeah, I strutted in there. I just whole place turned and said, what are those?
Yeah, they saw you mogging and they were like, you were clog mogging and they were like, all right, we're on blast.
I'm
one for one on getting compliments on them.
Okay.
So that's good.
Where'd you take them out for a spin?
Our childcare was a fan of them this morning when she walked in and helped me out.
Well, hopefully you don't show up to like one of the establishments that we like to frequent, you know, say Clark's or something, and you walk in with those and they just like immediately toss you an apron and they're like,
no, that's a sign of respect.
Table number four needs their oysters.
I'm gonna start shucking oysters. I've never shucked my own oysters. I'm scared to admit that. Have you?
No.
Like
I
you have to buy like the special gloves so you don't stab your hand.
I feel like it's like a 90% chance that I would slice my thumb off or something. It looks very dangerous.
Yeah. I like the idea of it. Like I like the idea of picking up a bag of oysters and heading down somewhere and maybe cracking them open. I just don't think I have it in me. Like I don't need to cut myself while trying to just like overdo it here.
There's also, you know, some people have, over the course of history, they've gotten sick from eating oysters.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just something about the whole thing where I'm like, I'm going to let somebody that knows what they're doing handle this.
Yeah. I'd rather blame the restaurant and hate on them than blame myself.
Because I feel like if I've got the oysters and I'm shucking them and I'm responsible for that, as well as like knowing what to look for when I crack them open to know what's going to poison me and what's not, it's just like, it's too much. And I feel like, you know, you're just headed down a bad path.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. And you only eat oysters certain times of the year. So
that's true. That's true.
Yeah. Should we just dive right in?
Let's do it.
I don't think there's going to be any boxer shorts left from the Sunday Scary side of things when this episode releases. But if there are, we'll have a description. We'll have a link in the description of this episode so you can go buy some. They sold pretty well, though, so I think I'm going to make some more.
Ooh.
You can definitely watch every episode at youtube.com/Sunday Scaries Podcast. Hop on there. Go follow us at retail.pod on Instagram. Doing listener companions on Substack right into your inbox. There's a link in the description for that as well. And we do have retail therapy scented candles in stock currently. Barrett.
That's huge.
I want to have a brief conversation with you regarding something I'm doing in the near future.
Okay.
You know I like to scheme out some clothing for trips and stuff like that well in advance. And I'm lucky enough to get a Tuesday ticket to the practice round of the Masters this year. And I only have a couple weeks right now to put together a fit for this. I'm not going to plan to pack anything more than just a quick carry-on bag.
Yeah.
I don't want to pack too much. I've been told that it can be either cool or hot, or maybe a combination of both. And I could be between shorts and pants. You know, bringing a pullover or a quarter zip on the course is going to maybe yield me having to carry it around for most of the afternoon, which I don't really want to do.
Yeah.
Usually when I'm dressing for a golf tournament, it's in just straight up hot weather. Don't even have to think about it. It's just an easy thing. I don't know what to do for this tournament, Barrett. And there's even more added pressure as I can take some photos using a camera at this because it's a practice round. What? Can you set me straight? I've purchased some shorts that I'm hoping might work that aren't just like my traditional golf shorts that fit like shit, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, yeah. So I understand the dilemma here. It's like this is kind of a once in a lifetime or few times in a lifetime opportunity. It's very difficult to go to the Masters. You want to make an impression. At the same time, I feel like you don't overthink it. I feel like you can't overthink it.
Okay. I see. That's what I keep telling myself, that just Just look like you're about to play a practice round yourself.
Kind of.
Just do it.
I sort of think so. Now, golf shorts, notoriously just like a shit show out there as far as what's available on the market.
Everything
like Nike only has like 10-inch long ones.
They're all long.
And then, you know, other brands have like tried to combat that, but then they're like way too short. It's a whole thing, right?
If you get like, even if you get like a Lulu pair tailored and taken up, they're still so like, they just don't fit right.
Yeah.
Take it from me.
So this is the pair of shorts that you've ordered, correct?
Yes. I've chosen some Todd Snyder. They're short, but they looked a little like they had a wider leg than some other Todd Snyder shorts.
They do look like they have a wider leg.
And
yeah.
He also appears to be wearing it higher on his waist than what I would normally do. So I'm really taking a leap of faith here on some brown shorts. But here's the thing. I'm realizing now I don't even have anything that can even match a pair of brown shorts. It's on the golf side of things. So I'm back to square one.
Like, and you know, kind of for a tournament that wasn't the Masters, like let's say we still had Dill Match Play here in Austin, right? Like if that was coming up in a few weeks, I might be thinking about like a knit polo.
Yeah, like, you know, a party
like
boy polo.
Like a sweater polo type of thing, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's the play at the Masters.
I think the Masters is, I'm, like, the more I think about it, it's so golf driven. It's so what it is that maybe you just have to be what it is.
And it's not like, that out of all the golf tournaments, it's the one where I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to stay the course. I'm just going to blend in. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to wear my dry fit polo along with the rest of the jabronis out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that you could. You still got to find a pair of shorts that you like and that's comfortable, right?
Yes, that's the biggest stressor at this point.
But are you going to tuck in your polo? How about that question?
If it's a cool day, I plan on wearing either a very light sweater over something, or I have a very light, I don't want to call it a quarter zip because it's not, but it's essentially a golf pullover that's extremely light that is more sun cover than anything.
Yeah.
And so I might tuck in, but if I have to peel that early, I'm probably untucking.
Okay.
So I need to be versatile here. It's not great.
Yeah.
I just overthink this stuff because I am so bad when it comes to temperature changes from cool to hot that I immediately just start like sweating or panicking that I'm like going to like die in the heat for some reason.
Yeah.
It's a real complex I need to get over.
Yeah.
I have been told that like vintage stuff, like vintage Master stuff plays real hard.
Okay.
I don't have anything that's like truly vintage though. Everything I have is from like the early 2010s, which isn't quite vintage yet.
Right.
And I feel like I need it in order to wear something vintage. You almost have to get it yourself there or inherit it from someone who also went to the tournament and not just have your boy send you a hat when he went to the tournament a few years back.
I think that's right. And I don't even love the idea of like going out of your way to cop something vintage Masters. Like
no, that
eBay.
Seems forced. It seems
it's
forced.
It's very forced. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to budget myself for the gift shop for the pro shop.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it's going to go well.
What are you just probably doing something casual, like a couple grand?
I just feel like you can go in with a plan in there and then you just get punched in the face and you're suddenly like, yep, I'm buying this like over. I'm buying everything. It doesn't matter.
You know, it's been a while since we even mentioned this brand, surprisingly, on the podcast. I think it's been kind of overshadowed by the likes of Uniqlo and Abercrombie. But I feel like this is probably a J. Crew spot for shorts.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I investigated what they're offering right now, but I bet they have some type of like blend with a stretch or tech fabric or cotton, but it's the right fit. Like this could be the move. The homies at Bonobos have shitloads of shorts.
So my most recent two pairs of go-to shorts that I've gotten in the mail and then bought more colors of, it was Bonobos, and then I went to J. Crew.
Yeah.
It was just because Bonobo stopped making the cut that I liked, and so I just strayed away from them, and I've really enjoyed the J. Crew. But they're like, I always use them as my like not nice going out shorts. They're really my like everyday, like the ones that I'm wearing right now are J. Crew and I have a rip in them, but I'm like, I don't really care. Like, it's just, these are just my everyday knock around shorts, and I'm very happy with them.
Yeah.
But I can't wear a ripped pair of shorts to the Masters, so I think I just got to re-up.
If you really want to fit in with the fellas out there, I think you need a pair of Peter Millars.
See, these are too pastel-y. Yeah, we can't hit them with the seafoam.
You don't want to hit them with the seafoam?
No, it's not 2006.
What about
if it was 2006? I already own those.
What about this apricot? This like you know, just a little 11-inch inseam here. Very
what if
tailored.
I just yeah? What if I just go with the 11-inch inseam
little
and
apricot,
like
little
double
apricot?
XL shirt from a country club I played once?
Yeah, all like random bright colors that don't really match very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I worry that going into the, like the pro shop to buy everything, like I'm worried that the fact that you can ship it straight from there to yourself, like that allows you to be so much more fast and loose with stuff. So much more fast and loose.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, I'll buy 15 onesies for my toddler. He's going to grow out of these in a month.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. I do think you, look, going in with a plan, even if it gets tossed out the window a little bit, I think is huge though.
Very key. For myself, I'm glad that my mom's going with me, because if my mom wasn't going with me, I would end up buying her everything that she ever wanted in life, because it would just make her so happy. And so it's good that she's going with me.
She a big golf fan?
She loves it. It's like her number one. Loves it. And so when my dad was in the garden growing up, my mom was taking me out to the golf course.
Sick.
And so I don't have to worry about that. I've told myself that I am allowed one hat, one polo, one quarter zip and or top. That's not a polo. That's my limit. That's what I'm going to do. And that's already going to be an out of control budget scenario. So we'll see if it pans out.
That's relatively conservative.
I think so. I don't think I'm going to go too crazy.
You don't get the opportunity to do this.
I know. People
enter the lottery, the Masters lottery, every year of their lives and then never get selected.
And you never get the opportunity to go in yourself and pick out exactly what you want and try it on. Any time that I've ever gotten something from the Masters, it's been from a friend who is going and they just grab something and send it to me. It's always really worked out pretty well for me, but it's always just like one of these things that's like,
to mention you're going to be there early.
I know.
I mean, you're going to have first crack
early.
At it basically.
First crack. Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to have everything in stock, all the sizes. Yeah.
I need to clear my wish list today.
You remember a couple years ago when there was like that one polo that had a little tiny like golf club pattern or something and it was going off on social media?
Was it just the most popular one?
Yes, yes. You got to have your eye peeled for something for, you know.
I need to hop in the Masters merch Discord like ALD and figure out like what's going to sell out first.
That's right.
What's the hot item this year?
Yeah, because if you do that, then you could potentially just like, you know, grab a couple of those, resell one for triple, and then, you know, you got half your swag paid for.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'll keep everyone posted on what I decide to do regarding this entire situation.
I do think that the Masters, just to come back to the fit side of things, it's just really not, it's not fit city. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I don't, it's.
I think I go straight golf.
I think you go straight golf. Okay. And do a little bit of work like you're already doing on finding the right pair of shorts. But, but yeah, I mean, those Todd Snyder ones, they might be a little too like Italian or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be the person trying too hard one way or the other when you're at a golf tournament. You don't want to look like you're about to go play, but you also just don't want to look like the person that like has no idea what's going on inside the ropes.
Right.
And I don't want to be the person that doesn't know what's going on inside the ropes.
Yeah.
You got to have some street cred.
Yeah, looking like you're about to go play will at least blend you in seamlessly. Mm-hmm. So
I think if I can mix it up anywhere, it's probably hat.
Yeah,
get a good hat. I'll figure it out.
You're not a hat guy though.
I know, famously not. Yeah. I make golf tournaments.
Okay,
on the golf course, I will wear a hat. I'm thinking about bringing my pipe out.
Yeah,
just to do that. I mean, do they
let you bring a pipe out there?
Probably not. No. Probably not. I'll probably get banned for life. But if Britain's young people are doing it, I think I'm in on this. Apparently, Britain's young people are just smoking pipes and cigars these days, and I kind of love it. We talked about the like cigarettes just being back last year in Brooklyn and wherever they were having these parties. But this says Britain's young people don't smoke cigarettes as much these days. Since 2011, smoking is among teenagers has fallen steadily. But a study recently published in the journal Nicotine and Tobacco Research suggests something weirder is also going on with young people and tobacco. Apparently, the number of adults in England using non-cigarette tobacco products, things like cigars, pipes, and shisha, increased from about 210,000 in early 2020 to a peak of just shy of nearly 1 million in mid-2022. The squad's just out here just packing pipes.
Yeah, that's – I got to see this to believe it. Part of me is just wondering if somehow like Zin has gotten folded into these numbers somehow.
Okay, fair.
Do you know what I mean?
Fair.
Because
yeah.
Like,
is it, yeah, is the Swedish like side of nicotine like finding its way into the English culture as much as it is the American culture?
It's possible. Is Zin a Swedish thing?
I think it is.
Really? Swedes just got it on lock, man. They are.
I'll confirm what Zin's actually from. I don't think I'm correct in this.
They're conquering the game. I can't get away from the Zin content. But yeah. What? Who are these people? What? Where are they doing it? Let's see. Plenty of young people enjoy smoking shisha. I don't even know what that is.
I believe that is more
like hookah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's never been for me.
Randy knows.
That's never been for me.
You big shisha guy?
No, but it was big back in college when I was going there.
Dude, college bars all have.
Did y'all call it
a
shisha?
Hookah spot?
But the shisha is the actual like tobacco, like the flavored tobacco put inside the hookah.
Okay, all right, there you go. Pipes though, I gotta see a young swaggy fella.
A young bruv wearing his his Umbro collab, and he's just packing up his pipe outside of a pub.
Packing up his pipe, yeah.
It sounds great.
I do feel like if people will let you do anything indoors, it's smoke a pipe.
Yeah, it's like, hold on. No, this guy's too classy to tell him not to do this right
now. He kind of has that it's got more of an aromatic smell.
I don't think I've ever seen someone smoke a pipe.
It's like the stench of a cigarette, but...
I still don't think... Yeah, like, I mean... No one's going to start smoking pipes in the United States, I don't think. This is a purely English lad thing.
Potentially. But you're telling me that if we see Randy get ready, like, you know, say Paul Mescal or Barry Cogan just hitting the pipe on the streets of L.A., you don't think that's going to carry some weight?
I just don't know if they're going to do that. I could see Daniel Day-Lewis walking down the street smoking a pipe, and suddenly the real ones are like, okay, I got to go get this pipe.
Yeah.
I got to go figure this out. I got to go to a head shop. I don't know. I just don't like.
I could see you becoming a pipe guy.
No.
Yeah, I could.
No, the beard for it.
Yeah.
See, dude, this is classic beard profiling from YouTube. This is disgusting.
Sitting there with a top hat, smoking your pipe.
No. See, beards have this connotation from the early 2010s of being this hipster thing, and now we're the pipe guys. Now we're the guys who, come on.
I'm not giving you a hipster. I'm giving you more like Teddy Roosevelt. I mean, he had a mustache guy, but like that type, Ulysses S. Grant type guy.
I'm going to shave my beard. I feel like I'm being profiled all the time.
Well, I was just thinking more like it would kind of suit you like in your record room, you know.
A pipe in a rec and yeah, in a little hi-fi lounge would go pretty hard actually.
In a little hi-fi lounge, yeah. It's only a matter of time before you switch to listening to your records on headphones, because all audiophiles know that that's the only way to actually hear all of the nuances of the analog record.
Barrett, I can assure you that I already have all the equipment to listen with headphones at this point. It was something I asked for the reason I did it was not to get the best audio quality. It was solely so I could listen to some records while my children were sleeping and while my wife was sleeping.
Okay.
But I don't enjoy it. I have to admit, it's not an enjoyable time for me. I don't understand why people would do that when you have speakers that you can just do it with.
Right.
It's just not a good thing. Well, I feel like are you reading something from this?
I'm just seeing where this article wraps up, you know?
I just don't see this actually catching on, and I feel like these kids are just doing it because it's the only thing they can get their hands on.
Okay.
Or they're just like believing that not like cigarettes are the worst, so everything under it is at least better than cigarettes.
Right.
I think that's the general of like the general look of things these days, whether it's a basic girl walking down the street with an Elf bar or some like little lad smoking a pipe outside of his flat. There's a dude on Twitter. I feel like he's got potential to really get a following because he's been pretty on fire since this has gone off. But he's still under 1,000 followers. But he had a tweet that really went off on my timeline, and I saw a ton of quote tweets of it. And it was the menswear matrix, specifically his matrix version 2.
Okay. See, now I only saw until I saw version 1 earlier this week, I want to say.
He immediately followed up with version 2.
But I had not seen version 2 yet. So this
version
is,
2 is voluminous.
Yeah, it adds a lot more a lot more brands. So
I need to know where you fall on a lot of this because I'm getting a lot of entertainment out of just imagining the people based on the parameters here. He's got smart to dumb. and ugly to hot. And so some things that might, like, I don't know. Is there one that sticks out that you think is like, this is a perfect one for this area of the Matrix?
Well, okay. Before we jump into it, I also just want to say that if you, when you go to this guy's, his profile, sorry, Randy, do I need to move something a little bit? Yeah. Okay.
We've got a new system in the studio of managing the screen, and it's really impressive stuff if you could
this
see it from
is,
behind the scenes.
Yeah, we're just peeling back the curtain for you here. We just want the YouTube to be perfect for y'all.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You can make it bigger. I was just the top side of that was getting a little obscured
okay.
By your video.
So RF Kenmore is the Twitter name, and he says that he's a fashion, in his bio, it says fashion industry bro, hotel bar evangelist, Midtown exceptionalist. I'm not totally sure what he means. Oh, I think that means that he doesn't like Midtown. Nobody does. But the first two, I feel like I absolutely love a hotel bar, and I would call up both of us fashion industry bros, or at least adjacent to being so. So I feel like this, you know, he's got a little bit of a knowledge here. He's got a knowledge base of some sort.
I get the drift from his tweets that he might work in some type of finance when it comes to things that might be fashion adjacent.
Okay.
I can't totally tell. I'm not trying to dox the guy or anything, but I think there is some, based on just the Matrix alone, there's credibility, because I'm like, you know, only someone who knows this brand and understands the kind of just landscape of everything would put this there.
Yeah. So I think off top, my favorite was the highest combination of smartest and hot is Stoffa.
Yeah.
Which I kind of agree with. It's very smart looking clothing.
And it's hottest. It's hot. It's just good looking clothing.
It's good looking stuff. It's wildly expensive, but it looks amazing. Like, but not in a, you know, with Succession finishing up last year, like everybody couldn't stop talking about, like, right, like the quiet luxury.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's Stoffa is that, but not in like the Succession way of like a lot of Loro Piana is fine, but it doesn't grab me. It's not romantic the way that Stoffa
is. Yeah, Stoffa's got such a more like, I don't know, I want to touch everything that's on their website.
Yeah, yeah.
It just looks nice. The lines are so clean. And it looks like if Kendall Roy, instead of wanting to take over the company, like started owning like art galleries
yes,
and stuff.
That's a great way to frame it.
Like just a little artsier version of it.
Yeah. So I loved where he had that. I think Ame is in the right place.
I think it's in a very good place. I think it's in a very good place. Like, yeah, it's
kind of hot, but pretty dumb.
Yeah, a little dumb. Yeah. I don't fancy him. I think I'm dumb when it comes to a lot of things. It makes sense. I think Essentials, like Fear of God Essentials, being just the hottest dumbest is. Not incorrect. But I also don't look at dumb here as being like, I almost look at it as like not being as serious about fashion or not being as serious about what you're wearing. But like, also, it is kind of accurate when it comes to the other stuff. Jound being there just feels biting, just on in between ugly and hot, and just squarely
and just
dumb.
All the way, yeah, almost all the way down on dumb.
I would have agreed with that had I not been just absolutely fiending for these sambas to come out like as soon as humanly possible.
What else is funny? I thought on V1 this was especially funny because it was just a little bit, you know, it was less to take in. I'll pop up here to it, but. All of these brands on this little square matrix, and then just over in an inset box under gay Todd Snyder.
Well, yeah.
Somehow I get it. Like, it tracks. It also doesn't make that much sense because Todd Snyder is really like just like expensive grown up J. Crew.
Yeah.
But it was just really funny to me. In V2, he has Aloe over there under with that as well.
Mm hmm.
And I kind of feel like some of these brands I feel like should have been a little bit kind of maybe closer together, although it's probably funnier when they're not. Like, what was I just thinking about? Like Aloe for me, okay, Mad Happy. Are you familiar with Mad Happy?
A little bit, but not much.
To me, Mad Happy is just like LA guys Aloe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Vuori is giving too much credit to being smart. I think it needs to be a little dumber. Not like dumb, but just a little dumber.
I think Vuori is getting way too much credit for being hot.
Yeah, I agree. I think we might need to scale back that one a little bit.
I'm personally, I'm not a huge fan of Vuori.
The the just smart line of Patagonia Nordstrom Huckberry is just very accurate. Like, if I imagine dudes who are wearing that to work, all those dudes are smart who I'm like, no, he's probably a good person to talk to at that company.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes sense to me. I enjoyed online ceramics being hot and dumb, mainly just, I don't think online ceramics deserves to be in the hot spectrum. I think it needs to be maybe closer to the ugly spectrum.
I agree with that.
No offense to the Deadhead fam, but like, I don't think people are going to those concerts and be like, wow, there's a lot of hot people here.
After we were talking shorts and I had Peter Millar pulled up and we were running through the shorts, I think Peter Millar can stay where it is on the smart axis, but needs to move to the other side of the hot, ugly axis.
Where's Peter Millar on here?
It's pretty high on smart and over on the hot side.
No.
Yeah.
It's not hot enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know. The dads that wear Peter Millar are usually pretty hot, though.
Okay. Yeah.
If I put on my Peter Millar, I'm like, yeah, I'm dad flossing right now.
Okay. Peter Millar casual is one thing. Peter Millar golf is a different thing.
Yeah. Everything I own's golf.
I like that the dumb, ugly section is just pretty much everyone in the suburbs. That's what, like, everyone wears.
Bait being down there, it needs to be down there. This makes sense.
Old Navy, Kirkland, Target. On your way down, getting,
they're underrating getting, Kirkland,
getting uglier and dumber.
Have you seen the footwear matrix?
No, I've not.
In the response to this tweet, he puts his footwear matrix in there, and
okay, here
it's,
we go.
It's pretty much very similar. I mean, on the smart and ugly side of things, you have your like Merrells and you know stuff like that, Bean Boots, Cole Haan, Allbirds. On the smart hot side of things, you've got probably a bunch of shoes I don't even know about, but you've got like Nordas, Belgians. What else do we have here?
What is this on which side?
Smart hot. I don't even know.
Smart and hot.
See, footwear is not my expertise.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot, you got your Belgian loafers, top hottest and smartest, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's fair. That's what I try to give when I have mine on.
Is smart and hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like sometimes I consider wearing my glasses with my tuxedo just so it's like, wow, he's smart.
Viberg is a well-known bootmaker. Yucatan is a Japanese brand that does a lot of American-made stuff as well, but a lot of like mock toes and boots as well. Some moccasins and kind of boat shoe looking things as well. You already mentioned Norda. I do not know what this squiggly brand is here. That one is eluding me.
I kind of want to find out.
Edward Green, Alden, Carmina, all are like classic Benchmade shoemakers. More like Derbys and Oxfords and that type of thing. This little guy right here is the. I'd say there's two internet shoes right now.
Okay.
One is the Paraboot Michael, which is a classic Tyrolean. I hope I'm saying that right.
Listen to you.
But it's the
I hope
little,
you're not saying it right.
It's, I'm sure you have seen these somewhere on your Explore feed. They're pretty, they're pretty ugly, to be honest. I mean,
they're not for me.
I get
if
it.
If I lived like, in New York, I could probably figure out a way to make these work in a color, but like, I'm not wearing these down here. A little too dapper.
But I think, see, here's the thing, and this is what's fun about a matrix like this, is that it's open for interpretation, right? But like, on the ugly hot thing, are we saying that the wearer is ugly or hot?
I think
hot?
That's what they're indicating here,
Or that the shoe or the brand is ugly or hot, right?
Yeah.
Because I think it's the wearer.
Yeah, I think they're indicating the wearer here.
Because the Paraboot Michael is like pretty, I appreciate the shoe. It's pretty ugly. It's kind of an ugly shoe.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think they're talking about the wearer. Like for on sneakers, they're just saying you're hot. That's the hottest and dumbest you can be.
that squiggly thing, I hit it with that Google lens.
With that Google lens? Randy, keep that Google lens quiet. Don't let people know. About that.
Morjas, I believe is Morja. Is Morjas.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably, I don't know. Morjas.
Yeah. These are just your classic loafers and shoes for about $300 to $400 price point.
Yeah. Okay. Got the 550s made the screen here, made the matrix.
They had to. They were always going to.
Noticeable lack of the other internet shoe though, which is the Our Legacy Camion boot, which is the square toe kind of sort of Western, sort of Chelsea boot.
They can't cover everything here.
Yeah.
Barrett.
He's got more Joss on here, but he can't put the Camion.
It's fair.
There's a glaring lack of Camion. I'm just saying I would have put the Camion boot somewhere on here.
Clark's being just on the smart mid-range thing, middle of the table, is it makes sense. Like dudes that wear Clarks are the same dudes that wore the brands that we talked about that were just on the line of smart.
Yeah, and then dead center, V2 of the clothing had dead center was Polo Ralph Lauren, and dead center here is the Chuck Taylor,
which I've never been able to wear a Chuck Taylor. I think I live.
It's probably my most worn shoe.
I don't think
I got them on today.
Really?
Chuck 70s, yeah.
See, I can't do it. These legs are too wide. See, I think I try to live unintentionally in the dumb and hot area of this of these, but I think I skew other places.
You probably, let's see.
I think I'd like to fancy myself as being smart hot, but I think deep down I want to be dumb hot. Even though I'm not hot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that's just what I strive for.
My last take here is that, you know, and I've been having some conversations recently kind of about like, there's way more than three ways to dress. But I feel like guys generally that are into fashion kind of typically dress for like, for three ways. One is to impress other men. One is to impress the internet. Mm-hmm. And then there's one, and then there's impressing women.
Okay, I think that's fair,
right?
Yes.
And so, like the right in here, Buck Mason, Sid Mashburn, Vince, Norse Projects, like this is the hot zone for like attracting women. I think.
I think that's probably good. Yeah, I think that shows that you have good taste in clothing, yes. But you're not like too fat. You're not trying to impress the fashion fellas and the internet. Like, this is the area where you just show, no, I have good taste, and I don't need to dress with trends.
And then, right, and then here you get a little bit hotter, maybe a little bit more fashion-y with, like, APC and Drake's, right? But those are, like, objectively classic, nice-looking brands that make stuff that looks sharp, but is not, like, on its surface, like, people aren't like, oh, what's that? That's very fashion-y.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, so I think that's... You know, that's a nice place to live.
You're so right. That is the three areas that guys are just trying to flex for. I don't like that you expose that in a way that's making me feel exposed.
But yeah, good matrix, good stuff.
What's the ad again?
It's at RF Kenmore.
He's been a good follow. Get him to 1,000 followers. Okay, he deserves it after all this.
You know what? I'll do it.
Take him for a test drive.
I'm going to toss him the follow right now live on air.
That's
big
for you. Yeah. I always like taking things for a test drive just in case. We've got some beef happening. Big beef. Very retail therapy beef. Gwyneth Paltrow's involved. Not skiing this time.
As she is in all retail therapy beefs, I would say.
I love me some Paltrow content. Everyone knows that.
Where did she fall on the olive oil beefs? Do you know what team? Was she Team Grasse or Team Brightland?
I don't know.
We need to find out.
I need to find out. She's probably got some. She's probably getting her ship straight over from the old country.
Yeah,
she's not even thinking about it. She's probably got.
Surely, Goop has its own olive oil.
I would assume they have to have something private labeled, right?
Like
I'd buy it.
Doubles is like a lube, probably.
I'd try. Yeah. Okay, I'd say I'd try it. I'd try it with some bread. Well, she's beefing with an herb, dude, and which is my favorite kind of beef. She's so out on dill. She said, I love all herbs. This is on Hot Ones, by the way, except for dill, which should be illegal. This is from The Cut. It says, finally, someone brave enough to say it. Dill is certainly bottom tier of herbs, always overpowering a dish with its off-putting sweetness. I'm proud to say that Goop is on the right side of culinary history with this one, per the author from The Cut. But then Gwyneth weighed in. It's so gross. It ruins everything and anything it touches. She said it's just got a dominant kind of flavor. That gave Paltrow even more ammunition, calling the herb dominant and just bad. She said she didn't even understand why people like it. Where do you stand on dill?
Well, as it happens, I made a dish this week that had a dill tahini sauce that I whipped up.
Okay.
That was phenomenal.
See, I'm a fan of dill. I like dill. I don't want it on everything.
This tahini that I made with the dill, like it was a rice dish. It was like a veggie rice dish, kind of like a pilaf or it almost kind of ate like a vegetarian paella. The dill tahini, I couldn't get enough of it. I just wanted to slop it all over the,
slop it up.
I wanted to slop it up all on this dish. Later, I used it on a little bit of roasted broccoli. Mm-hmm. Anyway, point being, I'm big on dill right now, thanks to this recipe. But also, I like dill. I like dill pickles.
Yes.
Yeah. I like dill relish.
Do you like a dill dip with some, maybe a fresh crudité in front
of
you?
Yes, 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 I do.
It's
like my
favorite. It's my favorite cool summer dip.
Maybe
for
a little
some
green,
vegetables.
A green goddess dressing. I exactly. think has some dill. Like I feel like Gwyneth got burned by dill one time, and now just has a bad taste in her mouth.
She's kind of making me question my affinity for dill, but at the same time, I think I need to stand up for it a little bit.
I think dill's is getting a bad rap here.
Are you? Where do you stand on cilantro? Are you
pro cilantro? Yeah, I like cilantro. Yeah.
Randy, are you pro? Does it taste like soap to you?
You know what? I don't know. I've been thinking lately. I'm like, if I just have regular cilantro, I don't know what it's supposed to taste like. It doesn't taste overly soapy, but I could see how it could maybe taste soapy. It's really weird.
I feel bad for the people that can't do cilantro.
Did you know the spice coriander?
What about it?
Did you know that that's cilantro?
Is that what British people call it?
Yeah.
There's a few spices like that, right?
But like coriander, like the spice, it's like that is cilantro in spice form.
See, I would never.
And the Brits call cilantro coriander.
If I was like trying to find the spice, I'd be calling Sally from the grocery store, being like, "I can't find it anywhere. What's going on? This is so annoying." I don't have any beef with very many spices. I'm not a big paprika guy.
Okay.
But like, I don't think I'm beefing with it. I just don't think I prefer it most of the time.
Out of all the herbs. You know, I know my way around a fresh herb, and I'm sure you'll probably be growing your own here.
Well, here's
soon.
The thing, Barrett. Yeah. As of Friday last week, I do have my own herb
your
garden
own herb
currently
garden.
Going.
Yeah.
So.
I was targeted with a reel recently that was like, you should be having your own herb garden. It's so good for you and so easy. Like, never pay for stupid herbs at the grocery store again. Like, just make your own herb garden. It was like showing how to do it and stuff, but I didn't make my own.
Come on.
You know what? Here's the herb that annoys me. Thyme.
You're just not about it.
The herbs that you have to like, you have to get your hands and you're like pick off the tiny little leaves.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Dill's easy to clean, easy to chop.
See, for
thyme and oregano, much more difficult.
Yeah. And cilantro's not fun. You don't want the stems in the cilantro. I hate doing the knife thing where you're like chopping it all off and trying to do it. It's just like, I'm never getting it all.
Yeah.
I'm such a perfectionist when it comes to that stuff that I want to make, like if I'm cutting an apple, I'm making sure that every eatable part of that apple is cut.
Okay.
Like with cilantro, there's no way I'll ever get every single leaf and it kills me to not have it.
With cilantro and with parsley, I let a little bit of stem get in there. It's fine. But then sometimes you just got to let some of those leaves, you know, hit the compost and that's okay.
I'm a big rosemary guy.
Rosemary's great.
When it comes to meat, oh man, you just got to keep that rosemary on you. I'm worried that like my herb garden's not big enough and I'm only going to be able to use the fresh herbs like once every 2 months. I need to expand.
Yeah. You got to get a bigger one. The nice thing is you can just go right to you don't have to like yank out the whole plant. You just pick off what you need, right?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
True. I think I'm retiring from pottery.
And moving on to gardening.
I think I'm moving to gardening. I think gardening's much more my speed. I'm not good at pottery. I've recently put some things on the TL of my recent product. It's not good. It's just been tough out there. And I think Sally's going to fully pursue the pottery stuff because she's better at it and enjoys it more. And I think I need to pick up a homely hobby.
Yeah.
And I think gardening just makes sense.
I think it makes sense. You got the bloodline for it.
I do. And having a resource like that, just a phone call away, it changes a lot for me.
Yeah.
My biggest fear was I didn't know where to get started ever. And now that I got the starter garden just right in front of me.
We got a fern, an indoor fern as a wedding gift. Mm-hmm. And I'm worried about it already. It's been 1 month and it's not looking hot.
I kept my fern alive for about as long as you can keep a fern alive in the hot, hot heat that I had it sitting in. I kept it alive for a long time. And when I finally threw it out, it was pretty devastating. Like I really do like a fern.
The problem is, one time I posted about a plant, you know, I needed some plant help, and I posted on the Gram, and like, I got tons of responses, and basically 50% were like, it needs to be watered more, and the other 50% was like, you're watering it too much. Mm-hmm. That's the problem with plants. Like, and I want to get that app where you just like put it on the plant, and it's like, oh, this is what's wrong with the plant, but I don't trust it because the humans themselves are split. Based on looking at what they're seeing and thinking one thing or the other, like the exact opposite things. And so this is just why Why is it so difficult?
I have no way of knowing. Like, yeah. I know you can just put your hands in the pot and know, but like, I still feel like even then, I just don't do a good job of maintaining the water levels.
That's a bunch of malarkey.
It's trial and error. You just got to learn. Yeah. I got some mint for the balcony. And
see, I regret not getting mint.
It's not too late to add. It spreads. So you want to kind of maybe have it more isolated. But because if you're going to be on this, James and I are having a Mojito Boy summer this year.
I'm okay with that.
So I'm growing my own mint for it.
I could see rum making. I did do some research before today's episode by searching a drink of the summer and trying to trudge through some recent articles that might be talking about it prematurely. Uh-huh. I didn't see much. I'm pretty happy with that. I did see that a lot of publications last year fully anointed the Hugo Spritz, the drink of the summer.
Okay.
But this year, the only thing that came up was Batangas, which, have you heard about the whole Batanga thing?
The fake drink, right?
Yeah, the one that they faked. Like, so I think that fake marketing has now just fully infiltrated, but I still don't think Batangas are going to be the drink of the summer.
On Sunday, I was, I got back on my Oaxacan old fashioned bullshit.
Okay.
Just because when I was in Todos Santos, several of the drinks that I was enjoying by the pool were a mixture of both mezcal and tequila.
I think that might be a good
thing.
And
I'm not a huge mezcal guy, but I was enjoying it when it was like just like a hint of the mezcal, but then also tequila. And so I did a little experimenting, and I had two. The first one I tried with orange bitters, that's not in the recipe. The recipe just calls for regular Angostura. Much better with the regular, with the classic traditional bitters. And then also you get that orange peel. You really gotta, you light a match and you gotta heat it up from the bottom, let those oils get cooking.
Okay.
And that's a game changer too. I let that go longer the second time with the Angostura bitters. The second one was much better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want you to make me one.
But I'm happy to check out Randy's Mojitos and Will's Hugo Spritz. I need where is MML our local dominant restaurant group. Where's the Hugo Spritz on the menus, man?
Yeah. Yeah. Even like last summer, I'm surprised that they didn't get one on like the Clark's menu, which is their seafood vertical.
I need to go to a place to enjoy one of these.
Yeah.
So that I can participate.
It's not on the menus yet.
Yeah.
I feel like you only know that something's a drink of the summer when it starts getting put on like the specials menu and it never leaves the specials menu.
Right.
And like, I still don't feel like I saw any opportunity to order a Hugo Spritz.
You
last
need
summer.
At least one place that's doing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is amazing. We need to start approaching our favorite places in Austin and being like, all right, we're going to make you go viral. Should we do some articles of interest?
Let's get to it.
Do any stand out to you? There's two that stand out to me more than the other ones.
Well, yeah, there's two that stand out to me as well. One, can I just start? Can I just jump in?
Yes.
I'm going to pull up the Instagram. So this is your warning now. Your video screen may get slightly not safe for work because I am going to pull up the Instagram account for Emily Ratajkowski's swimwear brand, Enamorata.
The brand account.
And I don't know how I'm going to deal with this after the Outdoor Voices news last year. But
I know, this is tough.
Enamorata might be on the ropes as well.
It's not looking good for them.
It is. It's not looking good. Now, you know, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt because they are replying to the comments. But here's the facts. Here's what we know. The Instagram account has not been updated in 4 months. They have not posted in 4 months. I mean, we're right here. We opened the episode by talking about it's officially spring, baby. We just had the vernal equinox.
Oh yeah, we should be selling some
bathing suits right now. People wanted that spring break hit, and now they're planning their summer travel. Weather's getting a little warmer. Now's the time to slang. Many customers are commenting on the most recent post that I have up here, from 4 months ago, basically talking about how they don't have their orders. They were supposed to ship in early March. They just continuously get pushed back. The customer service, they're getting automated emails about these delays. This is from Black Friday orders. This is from November of last year, and this stuff is not shipping. When you go to the website, you can still buy swimsuits. It says nothing about massive shipping delays, so I don't know if this was limited to like a few styles that were available for Black Friday, if they oversold and then had to reorder them and now they're having production issues, or if this is something far worse, which is like they didn't pay their vendors and
Possible.
Now they can't get these swimsuits, but like it seems like they would just, if that was the case, you'd think that they would just refund everybody. Unless, again, there is something more sinister happening here and they don't have the money or something terrible like that.
I'm worried.
I'm on alert here.
If you purchased a bathing suit from this and you're mad at Emrata and you're like, come on, Emily, send me my swimsuit. Like, come on, show you care at all. And then she takes to Instagram to post her divorce rings. Some of the largest rings I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
Are you just like, okay, I'm not getting my swimsuit.
Now, to be fair, at least one of those was one of the diamonds from her engagement ring.
Okay. Okay.
Repurposed into, I think that they... It's possible that they're both, that each one is like, you know, she had that double diamond. It was like two diamonds on the ring.
I don't remember. It seems like something I would remember, honestly.
It's called like a moi and toi ring, I think. But I'm pretty sure what she did is just split the two diamonds.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's a I kind of like that look. Obviously, you know, being able to purchase diamonds of that level is pretty ridiculous.
This is like what is.
That's pretty cool.
I don't think that's hers, but that's like the look she had. It's like it's two large stones.
Is it a divorce ring because she separated them and put them on two different fingers?
Something
is that what
like
we're
that.
Doing right now?
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. Do you think the Monday Swimwear girls are in the office right now just chest bumping and high-fiving each other? Like, all right, we did it. We did it, Joe. We took down Emrata.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, probably a little bit. I do think that Monday's much, much bigger brand.
Yeah.
Far more buttoned up operation there.
I know nothing about women's swimwear, but I do know that Sally's favorite swimsuits are all from Monday. And every time she like thinks about wearing another one, she's like, I'm just going to wear the Monday one.
The last time that Laura bought swimsuits, they were all from Mondays. And those are the ones that she goes to, that she grabs for, is the Mondays ones. Yeah.
I
can't confirm.
I support them because Tosh Oakley supports Sunday Scary's Instagram.
That's
what matters.
Yeah.
That's what matters. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
And if Tasha or Devin, or, you know, sure, maybe Devin too, you know, I don't want to play favorites.
Be careful.
Yeah. Sundays, Mondays seems like a natural partnership to
me. That's right. That's true. It's true. You know? It's true.
So
might need to open that DM conversation.
Yeah, just maybe a little collab, a little Sunday specific Monday swimwear. I don't know. I can see it.
Sally and I trying to watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith. She's like, who are you DMing with right now? Tasha Oakley.
Yeah.
I have one episode left of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Barrett.
I think I've got two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought the episode we watched last night might have been the final one, and then I was glad to see that I had one left. But the vibes on this show are just all time.
It's amazing.
I'm so happy with it. I've really watched a lot more since the last time we recorded together, and it's really truly my favorite show of the year so far. Which I know it's early in the year to say that, but
I would probably have it there if Shogun wasn't so good.
See, I've heard such great things, and I've gotten recommended it by so many people that I think I'm ready to dive in.
But as for just like vibe curation and just like a show that I love, and like the clothes are amazing and the characters are amazing, and I love the vibe and I love the chemistry and like. Yeah, it's Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
It's the best vibe of a show since the vibes of the house in Beef.
Okay. I've not seen Beef.
The house in Beef is great. Like, it's just whoever came up with that, whatever stylist was like, I'm in charge of the house. I will handle this. It's just great. Should we talk Hermes?
We should talk, yes. Okay. Yep.
How do you feel about the lawsuit lodged against Hermes because you can't buy Birkin bags without a history? How much time do these people have to start filing lawsuits for stuff?
I find this quite funny. And I think that you know, let's just start a whole class action, right? And let's include Nike in the mix, and let's include Adidas in the mix, mm-hmm. and hell, let's throw Supreme and ALD and Palace in there too, because I'd like to sue Palace for not letting me buy the Umbro hat that I wanted to buy.
Yep, I have one of those items in my on my wish list today, and the resale value of these things is fucking insane.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about Birkins before.
Let's sue all of them because this is that it's not fair when brands won't take our money for the items that we want.
I can't believe that people are actually wasting their time doing this.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
But I also respect how far they're willing to go to cop.
To try to cop.
Like,
yeah.
like they are ready to go to the end of the world and back to cop.
That's the thing. That's what's so funny, right? Like, they are so rich and they want a Birkin so bad that they are willing to spend, I'm sure, thousands of dollars in lawyer fees to try to procure.
Yeah.
You know?
Or this person's just a lawyer with way too much time on their hands and an Adderall addiction. In the actual lawsuit, it says the availability of Birkin handbags is conditioned on customers purchasing ancillary products from defendants. In other words, consumers are coerced into purchasing ancillary products from the defendants by virtue of wanting to purchase the Birkin bags. This is anti-competitive tying conduct.
The tying practice is what they're going after here. Which, like you said, is basically, and this is kind of well known if you pay attention to handbags and fashion and have ever thought about buying a Birkin, right? Is that it's well known that almost nobody, now we're going to get to some exceptions here in a second, but almost nobody can just walk in to, this is famously on a Sex and the City episode from the two fucking 2000s, right?
I need to do a full watch of Sex and the City.
You can't just walk in to an Hermes and be like, I want to buy a Birkin. It does not matter. It can be the $50,000 ostrich one. Like, you can't just, you can have 50,000 cash. You can't just walk in and say, I want to buy a Birkin, and they hand you a Birkin. Mm-hmm. You have to be a customer, and you have to support the brand, and you have to buy other stuff, and you have to buy some ready to wear and some clothing and some towels and some scarves and some ties and yada, yada, yada. And like, then once you're an established customer, they'll think about letting you buy a Birkin. And then if it's a nice color or an exotic skin that's sought after, like, you're probably on a wait list for it. And so that's the tying practice that they're going after here, which doesn't seem illegal to me.
No, it's annoying.
It's
annoying.
But it seems like you can do whatever you want as a brand with how you sell your product, right?
This person just needs to go, like, go get a rep or something. Like, chill out.
Or just buy on the resale market.
Yeah. If you're rich enough to do this, just go buy one from an established
dealer. If you can afford the $50,000 Birkin bag in the first place, you can probably just afford the one that's selling for double that, right? Or you know?
You'd think.
Right?
Did you ever sell anything that was, like, eye-poppingly expensive, like one single item when you worked in retail? Was there ever at a time you were like, holy shit, I actually just sold this?
There were, on occasion, we would sell like a jacket or something that was somewhere in like the $3,000 to $5,000 range.
Yeah, yeah. We where I used to work, we had a time where we had a really nice handbag in. I don't remember how much it was, but I know it was at least $5,000. And it was like, if you sell this, you get a bottle of champagne on the spot.
Right,
and
right.
I wasn't the one that sold it, but I remember somebody sold it and I was like, oh, good for them. Yeah. That's great.
So I worked on the men's side of By George, and but the women's did have a very large handbag business and sold lots of Celine handbags. And so they were moving. Mm-hmm. Thousands of dollars worth of bags every week.
But
but over on the men's side, really it was either a volume play, like somebody would come in and drop 10 grand on
stuff.
Or if it was a single item, it was always like some like insane like suit or leather jacket or something like that.
Yeah. Did you want to read what the
Yeah, so Hermes is combating this, at least partially, or this is just comment from former Hermes salesperson. Back row is Back Row the Substack? Is Back Row
Back Row's a Substack. It's a good Substack if you're into this.
So they've interviewed former Hermes salesperson on how Birkin sales actually work. And here's a highlight. And this is asking about random people coming in off the street to buy a Birkin. So here's the question. When you had random people coming in off the street to buy a Birkin, how would you deal with them? And here's the response. There were days where we didn't make enough sales. There's a slow season too. In the Northeast, a lot of your clients would be gone from November to January or February because they're at their ski house, they're in Palm Beach, they're in St. Bart's for the holidays. If you're lucky and you walk in and maybe we didn't make our quota, maybe we'd sell you Birkin because you were nice and you weren't obnoxious. That was the power that you held as a sales associate. Your store director had to trust you. There were times where you would say, you know what? She's a nice girl. Let's give her a Birkin. Then there were days where you'd be like, that's cute, but no.
Kind of love it. Kind of love it. I think that's a great process.
If
you're nice, here you go. I'm going to hook you up.
Hearing from the horse's mouth that, you know, we all have occasionally we'll all walk into a store, right? And you can feel the kind of disdain or the knowing look that you're not rich enough to be in the store, that type of thing.
I was pretty much told to leave the Prada store in Italy when we were there. They were like, get the fuck out of here.
We've all seen the pretty woman scene, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. like just to hear it from the horse's mouth, that's cute, but no, like that type of kind of holier than thou, condescending, you know, mindset about a customer. It's just funny, like, it to have it confirmed that it exists, but also confirming the fact that you could randomly get lucky and procure a Birkin.
Well, what do you do? What if you do, if you're on vacation, you're like, let's go to the Hermes store. Let's just go, like, pretend we're going to go shopping and go crazy. What if you go in, you start yucking it up with a sales associate. Yeah. She's like, you know what? Your names are Barrett and Laura. Come with me. Do you guys want to see the Birkin bags? You're like, oh, fuck. Do we have to put one of these on a credit card and turn it around immediately?
Well, here's the thing. Here's why that's probably not going to happen. Because to follow up, they asked, and would the one-off Birkin shoppers be able to get a basic black style? And here's the answer. If you're not one of those clients that is getting a custom order, you're getting what I sell you or you're not getting it. You're going to take this hideous green because no one else wants it.
Hey, whatever. You got to figure it out.
So I don't think that I am calling up old Chase requesting a credit increase so that I can cop the vomit green Birkin. Probably not.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure. I don't know enough, but like the less sought after ones, if it's weird or a weird color, you can probably resell it for what you paid for it, but I don't know if you're making money on it.
Yeah. Probably not worth the flyer. If you have to call the bank and sort it out beforehand, it's probably not worth it.
But this story alone, as the article says, already weakens the claim that you absolutely cannot buy a Birkin unless you have already stuffed your country house with $2,000 age blankets. I'm gonna guess that this lawsuit gets tossed out.
Probably. I don't really care about the other articles of interest I have here today. One was about sexy water, which is just people on TikTok putting cucumbers and fruit in their water and calling it sexy water.
Yeah, that's a TikTok thing.
Not that sexy.
Sounds like a TikTok thing.
It's not that sexy. And the other one was just, actually, I might punt the other one because I want to talk to you about this from the male perspective, since it's about just basics in a female closet.
Okay.
I think I'm going to punt that to a different episode, so stay tuned. Let's do some wish list items.
All right.
I'll start. My wish list item is something I'm not going to buy. But if anyone knows a route to get this closer to retail, this is still just owning all the real estate in my head, and I just really want it. It is the Palace Umbro collaboration. They have a training top that is in a navy blue with some light blue on it. It's just so clean and nice, and I just can imagine it looking so nice on my stack of crew necks that I already have in my closet. But unfortunately, it's currently reselling for $340 on StockX. And so I'm putting it in here so that in 6 months' time, I can go click on it again and see it be even higher or at the same price and not lower like I'm really wanting right now.
Yeah, unfortunately, probably higher.
Definitely higher.
And I'm just going to piggyback on your wish list item and throw mine on here as well, because let's see, am I logged in? Because I actually have StockX bids in for the item that I want. I guess I'm lowballing, but I'm still offering to pay over retail. But I've got the navy and light blue hat and then the white hat, both of which I have the highest bid on. Oh wait, no, I don't have the highest
bid. In your heart of hearts, which one do you want more?
I put my bid in for the navy and blue.
Okay.
First.
Okay.
And then I saw some in-hand photos of the white on Grailed, and I was like, shit, the white's actually kind of clean. I might wear the white more. And seemed like it was less sought after. But I don't know. Just somebody sell me one of these. Especially on the hat. The last sale on the blue and on the double blue one was $76, right? Like whoever sold it for that on StockX didn't make it more than $10.
Yeah.
You know, like what are we doing here? But the people that can afford to hold, as we like to say, in the resale game, they'll just wait until there's none left. They have the only one still on the market, and then they'll start jacking up the price, and eventually somebody will buy it for something absurd.
It's a fun game to play.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But yeah, I was really into the Palace Umbro drop. I love the colors. I love what they did. Super nostalgic for
the Umbro team is just cooking.
For guys like us. And I would like to own one of the hats at some point. So
any collaboration that Umbro's done recently.
I might go with the old, you know, with the Will strategy and just wait till I've had two Oaxacan Old Fashions one night and just be like, I'm doing it. And just
I don't deploy that strategy often.
At whatever the StockX price is. Yeah. Or at the very least, up my bid a little bit.
I don't deploy that often, but when I do, I just make sure that I have it open in a tab. So if I've had a couple drinks at dinner or something, that I see it when I open up my Safari, and then suddenly I'm like, oh yeah, now's the time. Is that all she wrote?
I think that's all she wrote,
okay.
man.
Okay. We'll be back next week. To anyone who's been following along this entire time, we thank you. And we'll talk to you guys later.